Seven games left in the NFL postseason. Sad, we're counting them down, but the good juicy ones right here in front of us this weekend. Two games Saturday, two games Sunday. Cannot wait. And our NFL insider Jason Lacanfora on the line with us. Sir, how jacked up are you for the weekend? This is really, think back to like week seven and some of the BS games you had to pretend you were interested in. Here we are with games mattering.
Yeah, you know what? It should be it should be a heck of a weekend. Fairly wide open slate, you know, of games. I feel like both these the brackets on either side, you could make a case that any of these teams alive could still do it. You know, even the ones where like Philadelphia on the surface, you wouldn't think so. This whole, you know, Nick Foles magic thing, man, it's real. Like, I don't know if it'll keep carrying them past New Orleans in New Orleans. If it does, you really better look out. But yeah, I mean, I think last week was a week where, again, a lot of these teams, whoever wins, and in some cases it was more difficult to predict than others, I think was going to have a shot to scare somebody the following week. And now here we are at the following week, and it should be some good stuff.
Okay, let's get right into it. Indianapolis in Kansas City. I absolutely love the Colts getting points. Straight up, I'm a little less confident, but people seem to be sleeping on a 10-1 run they're on now.
Yeah, and it's not all Andrew Luck. You know, I think the fallacy is the quarterback. The quarterback played at an MVP level for a good portion of the season, but it's their balance, it's their physicality, it's their speed on defense, it's their ability to get to the quarterback, not even always sack him, but make the quarterback uncomfortable despite an overabundance of, you know, naturally gifted pass rushers. They're just a darn good football team, and they have a tremendous self-belief, and they're playing with house money, and they're going to be loose, and they have a style of play that the Chiefs are susceptible to, particularly the run game and controlling the ball. And when you can out-physical them up front the way I mean, look, that Chris Jones guy is a beast. The rest of that KC offense, defensive line, leaves a lot to be desired, especially in the run game. If you can control the clock and then have Andrew Luck, you know, dropping dimes in play action, that's going to be a problem for the Chiefs. And Patrick Mahomes is no slouch, and Andy Reid's offense is great. And you know, it should be a heck of a game. But, man, I'd be very wary of the Colts right now.
Yeah, no, I like this group a lot for all the reasons you stated. You eloquently stated it better than I could. Let's move to the Saturday evening game. What has to happen for the Dallas Cowboys to win in L.A. against a well-rested Rams club that's given their coach and staff an extra week to prepare?
You know, I think their template is a lot like the Colts. They obviously have a dominant running back. You've got two dominant running backs in this game. I think whoever controls the line of scrimmage is obviously going to be in good shape. I think there's going to be a lot of pressure on both these young quarterbacks. Jared Goff came up a little small last year in the postseason after such a great breakthrough season in 2017, which was year number two for him. Now people expect even more in year number three. You know, Dak Prescott, I just can't see. I mean, I think Wade Phillips sells out to stop the run, you know, tries to put somebody over the top of Amari Cooper when he can, and then just force one of these, you know, secondary receivers. You know, Beasley's banged up. Obviously, Hearns is out. You know, can they get something out of the tight end position to try to win the game that way? It should be a pretty interesting chess match. You know, that extra week of preparation and the time off was huge for Gurley and some of the guys dinged up there with the Rams. I like the Rams. I don't think it's as big of a spread as Vegas is indicating. I think it's probably a closer game than that. I feel like the Rams are a better team, but they've got holes. We know defensively they've got holes, and they give up a lot of big plays, and their secondary wasn't very good for much of the year. And you can run on them too. So I mean, there's a path for Dallas to win this game, no doubt.
Yeah, and boy. This would be quite the back-to-back postseasons for the Rams if they fell again here. And they really weren't inspiring down the stretch. It was kind of reminiscent of the situation Kansas City was in where,
yeah,
they're still gifted offensively, but defensively they haven't been great late. They both lost a bunch down the stretch compared to really, really hot starts. And albeit a tiny sample size versus a small one, both head coaches have not delivered in the postseason yet.
Yeah, without a doubt, without a doubt. And there's going to be pressure on those guys as well. I think Dallas, because, I mean, there were points in the middle of the season where you thought Scott Linehan, their offensive coordinator, was definitely going to get fired, and Jason Garrett, wasn't getting the kind of ringing endorsements from Jerry Jones that he once did. You know, I feel like they've kind of already survived and probably, I don't know how many people in Dallas included, outside of Jerry Jones, thought that team was going to have this kind of run in it. So, you know, I think with the Rams now, it's getting to be show me in the playoffs time. You know, if this thing really is as special as we think it all can be, then we've got to start seeing it in January, you know, not just September, October, November. But, I think the world of Sean McVay. I think he's an absolute born to do this, and he's a coaching savant. And I have to think that extra week to prepare will bode well for them.
Chargers in New England to take on the Patriots. This, to me, is the most intriguing matchup because the Patriots have not looked good. The Chargers, as you've talked about all season, have so much talent all over that roster. But again, the Patriots in big spots with rest in the postseason scheme better than anyone else, don't they?
This is what they live for, man. That you don't win this many playoff games without being incredibly smart and prepared and disciplined and diligent. You get a little luck along the way, and sometimes there's maybe a little funny business too. But it's phenomenal how many times they've been in the AFC Championship game the last 15 years. I mean, it's something like, I think, 12 times or something like that? I mean, it's ridiculous. And here they are, you know, a game away from it again. I think the Chargers are the better team on paper, but we're not playing this game on a database. We're not running it through an algorithm. Strange things happen in Foxborough this time of year. The weather is going to be, I think they may avoid the extreme snow that some of the early forecasts were calling for, but it's still going to be bitterly cold. It's two straight weeks of significant travel for the Chargers, two straight kickoffs that are 10 a.m. by their biological clock, you know, their body clock time. So I think those things tend to matter a little bit, especially when you're playing, you know, the ultimate dynasty in the Patriots. If this was a nighttime kickoff and if it was the weather that they were lucky enough to get in Baltimore last week, I'd really like the Chargers here. It's a really tough game for me to pick. I lean to New England just because they generally win, because they got that bye, which was so crucial for them, and because I think the elements are going to play a role.
Yeah. What can you tell us about the health of Rob Gronkowski and Melvin Gordon, who both will play, but safe to say neither are going to be in their prime, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think Gronk, it is what it is now. He's, I think this is his final season. He hasn't been effective. They know, the thing about that is they know who he is and what he is. They're not going to expect him to be separating from guys, catching balls, you know, seam routes 50 yards downfield and running away from people anymore. They're going to put him in positions that accentuate what he can do, which is create space in the slot, box out people like a power forward in basketball, you know, use his reach, and his catching circumference to his advantage. But no, I don't think he's a difference maker in this game. You know, Melvin Gordon, he suffered a lot of, you know, he had two different knee things and an ankle in the last four or five weeks. Look, it's go time. You shoot guys up. Everybody's going to do whatever they have to do to play, and I think he'll be fine early. But as that stuff wears off and as the hits accumulate, you have to wonder a little bit because he's been unable to get through some of these games. Now, they were able to rest him a lot in the second half with the bigger lead in Baltimore a week ago. He dinged his knee up again then. So I would be a little concerned about that, and I think part of the reason this offense – the Chargers' offense is really bogged down, too, now. I mean, even their drives last week, it was a lot of field goals. Mm-hmm. When you don't have him in tight quarters, you don't have him in the red zone, you don't have him goal line, it matters. And part of the reason that team is not scoring at nearly the rate it has is that he hasn't been 100%. I don't think he'll be 100% in this game either, but you know he's going to do everything he can to get through this game.
Hunter Henry going to play and have an impact or no?
Even though he was activated, I talked to some people in their front office actually last night, and just because they activated him off of the PUP list, you know, that means he's eligible to play at some point this season. But the doctors still had a little bit of concern about exactly where he was. So there is a chance. The team's flying out today. He's going to make the trip no matter what. They may not determine his status until tomorrow. I was told it won't come down to one of these game-time decisions. They'll have decided before then. But there still is a very real chance that he's with them, but inactive. Look, even if he plays, he's not a guy who's in line. Like, could he make one play? That's the difference. Absolutely. Is he going to be a difference maker in the game? 12 catches, 170 yards, 3 TDs? No. You know, his role would be very, very limited.
Okay, let's go to the final game. Number one seed New Orleans hosting the, defending Super Bowl champions. It feels like a marquee matchup. It also feels like the game that potentially could be a blowout. Do you agree with that or no?
I mean, it could be, you know, it could be. I just think you kind of have to throw rhyme and reason out the window with this Eagles team. You know, they beat this underdog thing and the dog mask last year and Nick Foles and just how they win games and the double doink thing in Chicago. I mean, I don't believe in fairy tales, but like this is, he refuses to go away. I do think he hit the wall a little bit in terms of performance last week, and, you know, he got jacked up in the ribs a couple weeks ago. I think, you know, at his age and with what he's been through, it starts to get to be diminishing returns at some point. That's such a difficult place to play. They have such a rigorous home field advantage. But I don't think I don't know that any of these games are a blowout. I guess history would tell us, you know, at least one will probably go sideways. Look, if the Saints come out gangbusters and get a big lead, because the state of that secondary, I think Sean will come out and try to run the football. Sean Payton, if he can run the football to a lead, he will throw it to a blowout. If that makes any sense, because he knows that there's issues in that secondary of Philadelphia he can exploit. But I think their bread and butter really is the ground game and screen passes, and I think it's a fairly tight game.
All right, thank you, sir. We'll chat next week.
Hey, have a good one. Thank you so much.